the last session and a lot to cover. Let me see how much you can cover today. And what is the idea behind these retreats, these seminars? To give you an idea and encourage you to study these topics. So when you go home, what will you do? Forget about this seminar? Everyone is silent, that means yes. Make it a point to read them. Actually, this 11th canto, especially this Uddhav Gita, is very, very important. What is the process we are practicing now? We are practicing the process of devotion. Now, why we are practicing devotional service? Why you are practicing the process of devotional service? Because this is the best. If there is something better than this, then shouldn't we take that? That's what often I tell people from those who are from other groups or other spiritual sects. I tell them that this is the best I found. If there is anything better than this, please give it to me, I will accept it. I'll give it up and I will take it if there is anything better. But at least I haven't found anything better, and nobody has been able to prove that there is anything better. On the other hand, what's happening? The more we are practicing, the more we are realizing that this is the best. This is the best thing for spiritual advancement. This is the best process for spiritual life. There is nothing superior to this. And this is what we are seeing here. And who is saying it? Krishna himself is saying this. The goal of life is to get the shelter of Krishna. And when Krishna says that this is the best, how can anybody have any doubt? This is the best spiritual activity. Are you all in agreement with me? I couldn't hear you. Hari Bol means yes or no? Okay. So yes, this is the best. And Krishna is describing various other things. Incidentally, in the morning's class, I actually skipped two chapters, previous chapters. So I'll briefly discuss that. This morning I went straight to the 19th chapter, but I actually left behind the 17th and 18th chapter. You see, I'm rushing. So sometimes while rushing, I tend to hop, skip, and jump. But that's not, was not intentional. Okay, so this chapter, 17th, is very important. Krishna is speaking about Varnashram. Varnashram means the social structure. One night in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was lamenting that there is so much to do and his health is so bad, he couldn't do things. So I was trying to console Srila Prabhupada. It was late at night, around 1 o'clock in the morning. So I was telling Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what you have done is inconceivable. No one ever has achieved what you have achieved. So you should not think that anything is left behind." Prabhupada said, "No, what I have done is 50%. And the other 50% is to establish Varnashram." Then Prabhupada told me, "Not that everybody will become a devotee. Those who won't become devotees, for them we need Varnashram." So those who will become devotees, for them we have ISKCON. But those who won't become devotees, for they need a structure, and their spiritual situation will depend upon the Varnashram system. What is the meaning of Varnashram? Four Varnas. The human society is divided into four Varnas. Varna literally means color. Or it is also sometimes is considered to be the body of the humans, body of the society. The head is one part. That's the Brahmanas. Arms, the Kshatriyas. Belly, the Vaishyas. And legs, the Shudras. So this is the body of the society. Head, arms, belly, and legs. And these are the most three or four most important part of the body. The whole body is functioning due to that. The head guides. Arms protect. Belly provides. Belly is very important. Like belly actually supplies the energy. Belly takes food, gives out energy. And legs, on which the whole body is standing. So all four parts are very important. So these are the four Varnas. And every individual human life is divided into four ashrams or four phases. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. First 25 years, Brahmachari. Next 25 years, Grihastha. Or should the whole life be the next Grihastha? Jab tak na mot aati hai. No. Panchashodhe banang brojet. At the age of 50, finish off your business. And banang brojet. Go to the forest. The forest is a beautiful forest called Vrindavan. And that Vrindavan is ISKCON temples. So Banaprast means come to ISKCON temple. Just your children are grown up. And in ISKCON temple you can join with your wife. Husband, wife. But make sure that along with you, you bring the bank account also. Your bank balance also. Once a very rich man in Calcutta joined Mayapur. It was in 77. So we all are very excited. He was a very wealthy jeweler. And so I was very happy that he met, and Prabhupada asked me to take care of him. So I was very happy. I reported to Srila Prabhupada. Then at some point Srila Prabhupada asked me, did he bring his money with him? I said, no, Srila Prabhupada, so far he didn't donate anything. Prabhupada said, then he won't last. That means his heart is not in the temple. Initially, your heart is where your money is. So when you come to the temple, you bring your money also. There is a saying, your money is where your mouth, or is it the other way around? Your money is where your mouth is. So the thing is that if sometimes people do that, they join the temple, but they give all their money, their assets and everything to their family. Is that serious business? No. So mind you, take note of what I am saying. What should you do? No Haribol now. So, at the age of 50, what should you do? Go for a vacation? Or you should go join ISKCON? Okay, maybe 50 nowadays is too young. At the age of 60, that'll be alright. At the age of 60, move in. And the dividing your wealth can be also done in a very systematic way. 50% to Krishna, 25% to your family members, and 25% for your future need. It's a good condition, good arrangement. Because as I said, ISKCON needs two things, man and money. And in this way, you support the movement. Man, give yourself and also give the financial support to this movement. I'm not saying it because we need it. I'm saying it mainly because of you. Because of your benefit. Because if you remain attached to your money, then at the time of death, you won't be able to think of Krishna. Because your last thought will be where your deepest attachment is. Make sense? Where your deepest attachment is, where there your, that will be your last thought. That's why we notice that today's people are leading such a dangerous life. Practically everyone thinks that a dog is his best friend. Isn't it? That most of the people nowadays have dogs. And they become very attached to their dogs. And as a result of that, what may happen at the time of death, will they think of God or they will think of dog? And what will happen? They'll get a dog's body. So, at least we are getting a clear understanding of what is what and what should be. So, human society is divided in four varnas, and human life is divided into four ashrams. Oh, okay. At the age of 50? Okay, I extended it. At the age of 60? What? Ghar mein rehna hai? Kya karna hai? At the age of 60, move into the temple. Right? And it's happening, if not temple, in some places, like in many of temples, they're moving close to the temple so that they can become engaged in. Many temples do not really have the facilities, but many of our devotees in places like UK, in London, they're moving close to Bhaktivedanta Manor. They're buying their houses and moving close to the temple so that they can become. So this is also kind of vanaprastha situation. So, okay, I'll go quickly through that. Prabhupada, time and time again, Prabhupada pointed out that if Varnashram is established, then there won't be any unemployment. Because in Varnashram system, everybody has his occupation. Brahmana, what is the occupation of a Brahmana? Brahmana's occupation is Jajan, Jajan, Patan, Patan, Dan, Pratigraha. Patan, Patan. Brahmana's business is to study and teach. Then Jajan and Jajan. Perform sacrifice and also help others to perform sacrifice. Dan, give in charity and accept charity. These are the occupations of a Brahmana. And we are seeing that it is quite quite a nice occupation. Many of our devotees in the temples, what they do, they're householders, like they're just performing puja, performing sacrifice for others, and they get donations, and that's how they're maintaining themselves. Is Brijesh here? From Bombay? Okay. Here is an example. Stand up, Brijesh. So Brijesh lives in Bombay, a very expensive city. But how does Brijesh maintain himself? He does just yajna. Many people, many congregation members ask him to come and perform yajna, puja, shraddh, annaprashan, wedding, all kinds of. There is no dearth of brahminical needs. And he is maintaining himself in that way. I mean, it's just on one example that thought came to my mind. And many people are actually doing that. They're maintaining themselves. They don't have to go out and take a job. Then Kshatriyas, that job is difficult in today's democratic era. Because democracy doesn't allow one to become a king. The Kshatriya's business is to become a king. He goes, he creates his kingdom. Or wherever, either he's a king or a jamindar or things like that. They are Kshatriya's business. They have their army and they give protection to their subordinates. The Vaishyas, they run business. Main thing, they provide the need of the society. Like the society needs food. Vaishya is providing food through cultivation of land and protecting cows. And then Vaishya, Krishi, Goraksha, and Vanijya, trading, business. They go to some place, buy something there or collect something there, and bring it, sell it at the profit. And from here they take something and sell it there. That's the Vaishya's business. Buying and selling. Buy where it costs nothing and sell where it costs a lot. And he makes his profit. And those who cannot independently function, like all these three upper classes, they're independent in their occupation. Brahmana will never take up a job. He's independent. Kshatriyas will never take up a job. They're independent. Vaishyas will never take up a job. Only Sudras will depend upon others because they don't know how to maintain themselves. So, this is how the four classes of Varnas of this is established. Krishna, it was established by Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Chatur Varnam Maya Shrishta Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. Four Varnas has been established or created by me, Maya Shrishta. But Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. According to the Guna, modes of material nature, and according to one's propensity. According to the modes, influence of the modes, people develop different propensities. Like those who are in the mode of goodness, they like to study, they like to teach. There's a natural tendency. Those who are in the mode of passion, they are powerful. They like to fight, they like to enjoy. So it's mode of passion. So they have given their freedom. Okay, fine. If you want to enjoy, go ahead and enjoy. But while you are trying to enjoy, you have to give protection. Things that you are trying to enjoy, you have to be able to protect. Otherwise, somebody else will come and take them away from you. And it is authorized. It is authorized in the Vedic culture. Say you have a property, you have a kingdom, you are a king, And another king comes and sees there, oh, it's a nice kingdom. And what he does, he sends a message. Look, I like your kingdom. Give it to me. And if he says, no, 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 I can't give it to you. They say, okay, let's fight. And whoever wins will get it. That is a kshatriya's. That's the option that has been given to the kshatriya. Even you want to enjoy a princess, a beautiful princess, fine. I like this beautiful princess. Then the others will say, okay, I also like her. I also want her. So let's fight. And sometimes, we have seen in Krishna book and Mahabharata, what would happen? The whole army will attack. All, not one, so many other kings will attack against that one person. And he'll have to defeat them. Just as Krishna, Rukmini, I'm sure you have read the Rukmini Haran. It's a very famous, very popular chapter of Krishna book, Rukmini Haran. What did Krishna do? Krishna picked her up, kidnapped her. She was about to get married to somebody else, Shishupal. And they anticipated Krishna would come. So all his allies, all his friends, other kings, they all came with their whole entourage and army to give Shishupal the support. Still, Krishna came and took her away. All of them attacked. And Krishna and Balaram defeated them all. Krishna actually came alone. But Balaram anticipated some problem, so Balaram came with the army. And when the kings attacked, Balaram was already there. But who can defeat Balaram? Who can defeat Krishna? And not only Krishna is undefeated, Arjun also. He took away Krishna's sister, Subhadra. Kidnapped Krishna's own sister. Actually, with Krishna's permission. Krishna wanted Subhadra to marry Arjun. But Balaram wanted Subhadra to marry Duryodhan. Somehow Duryodhan was Balaram's favorite. So, now elder brother Krishna couldn't go against him. So he couldn't really do anything. So he wanted Arjun to marry, so told Arjun, kidnap her. And Subhadra also liked Arjun. And so Arjun kidnapped Subhadra. And of course in this situation, Krishna saved the situation. Because he knew that if Balaram attacks, then Arjun doesn't stand a chance. Because after Balaram is Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he pacified Balaram with various reasons. And so in this way we see they would always fight. Kshatriyas would fight. They love to fight. Although they know that in this battle they may die. Still they are not afraid. Rather Krishna is telling that jadrichhaya chopapannam sargaddaram apabritam. Arjun, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna is telling, and Arjun refused to fight. He said, by providence arrangement, this opportunity has come to fight in the battle. And what happens in a battle like that? Sargadwaram apabritam. The gate to the heavenly planet opens up. If you win, you bhokshashe mahim, you will enjoy this world. And if you die, you will go to heaven. So in this battle, those who die, they go to heaven, and those who remain, they enjoy this world. So what's the loss? Sukhina kshatriya partha labhante yuddham idrisham. When a kshatriya gets an opportunity to fight in a battle like that, he becomes very happy. Sukhina. So that is a kshatriya. He loves to fight. Even though he may have to die in that battle. So this is how one, a kshatriya, develops his nature. Naturally. Then Vaishyas, they like to do business. They like to make money. Vaishyas, kshatriyas like to fight, but Vaishyas like to make money. Vaishyas cannot fight like the kshatriyas, but they want to enjoy also. Kshatriyas enjoy with their power, Vaishyas enjoy with their monetary power. Kshatriyas enjoy with their physical and military power, Vaishyas enjoy with their monetary power, money's power. So this is how we can see in this society, everyone has an occupation. And the Sudras, they're skilled. Sudras are not just no good individuals. They're skilled. They're potters. They make pots. Sudras, they make various kinds of things. They're artists, Sudras. They're very artistic. Like the potters, then cobblers, then carpenters. So there is a need in the society for all those things, and the Sudras are the expert ones who can do that. So this is how everyone in this society is engaged in devotional service, in the service, according to their respective varna. So today this varnashram system has become distorted because it is no more dependent upon guna and karma. As Krishna is saying, guna karma vibhagasaha. It has become based on birth, not according to qualification. Someone born in a brahmana family, he is a brahmana just by birth. Although he may not have the brahminical qualities. And that is the problem. That is how the varnashram system has degenerated. And in the ashram system, everyone is engaged at the initial part of his life, the student life. Student life means controlling your senses. Students have to control their senses. When you're studying, you have to control your senses. Life of a brahmachari. Then, after you complete your studies in the guru's ashram, gurukul, then one has the option either to continue to stay in the guru's ashram and continue the spiritual life, or go home and get married. Go home and get married and become a householder, grihastha. And then remain in the household situation for some time. And then there is a need for retirement, banaprastha, retired life. And then sannyas, the life of a renunciate. So this is how the society was divided according to the varnas, and individual lives were designed according to the ashrams. So this is how So here it is, grihastha ashrams, condition is being described. After studying all the different aspects of the Vedas, a student who has material desires may take permission from his spiritual master and enter into family life. Otherwise, if he has no material desire, he may become a banaprastha directly from brahmachari stage directly to banaprastha stage, and or can directly take to sannyas order. There are many such instances when one became a sannyasi at a very young age. Like Shankaracharya became a sannyasi at the age of 8. At the age of 8 he became a sannyasi. And these are all wonderful examples in the Vedic history, in the Vedic culture. So, so in the previous chapter, the responsibility of the householder has been described, but now I'm skipping that, because in most cases those orders are difficult for even the householders to maintain. Even the household life has a lot of restrictions, which is not being able, one is practically not able to follow such strict order. So I'm going straight to the Vanaprastha order and Sannyas order. So Vanaprastha life, at what age one enters into Vanaprastha, according to that? First 25 years, Brahmachari. Next 25 years, Grihastha, householders. And then the third 25 years, 50 to 75, is Vanaprastha. Or as I said, like it is depending upon the individuals. Like one can take sannyas at any age, depending upon his propensity or inclination. Now, when one takes to Vanaprastha, he may leave his wife behind under the care of his grown-up children. Women should always have protection. Women should always be protected. When she is young, she is protected by the parents. When she is in her youth, she is protected by her husband. And at her mature stage, elderly stage, she is protected by her children, grown-up children. But when one takes to Vanaprastha, he may take to Vanaprastha either with his wife or leaving his wife behind. There are many instances when one went to Vanaprastha life along with his wife. Like, for example, Puranjan, he went with his wife. Dhritarashtra, when he took to Vanaprastha, he went with Gandhari. So it is up to them. And then he should leave wife at home in the care of his sons, or else take her along and with a peaceful mind and spend the third quarter of his life in the forest. Again, I will reiterate that point. In this age, it is not possible to go to the forest. But one forest is, actually the most wonderful forest is Vrindavan. Ban means forest, right? So Vrindavan is actually a forest. But it is the most desirable forest, it's the most coveted forest, Vrindavan. And by Srila Prabhupada's divine arrangement, Srila Prabhupada has created Vrindavan everywhere. ISKCON temples are Vrindavan. So when one wants to take to retired life, Vanaprastha life, one can come and join, either go to Vrindavan or can join an ISKCON temple. ISKCON today has more than 650 temples, so the opportunity is there to join wherever you want to. And then when one wants to finish off all his business in this material nature, one can take to sannyas. So in that respect, there is one very important consideration that this structure is very scientific. As I mentioned, student life. As a student, one must follow certain way, certain standard. Like nowadays, what is happening? The students are going to the universities, and it's a way for enjoyment. Like universities are actually a big place for enjoyment. Away from home, on their own, and they are free to enjoy. There are so many facilities to enjoy. But actual student life shouldn't be like that. Student life should be restricted. Restricted, constraining, controlling the senses. And the controlling the senses is actually the life of a brahmachari. So student life should be a brahmachari, a life of sense control. And in this way, when one is able to control his senses, then only he becomes qualified to become a grihastha. A person who enters into household life without the ability of controlling the senses, he cannot become proper grihastha. So an ideal grihastha must be trained to be in this controlling senses. Then only he can indulge in sense gratification, the license that he gets in household life. And while in household life, one develops various attachments naturally, attachments to the children, attachment to the family members. And these attachments are not desirable because attachments cause us to remain in the cycle of birth and death. So the attachment should be given up. Attachment should be given up. And so now all the attachments have been developed. Now is the time to get rid of those attachments. So banaprast, free oneself from those attachments. And then sannyas, total freedom from material bondage. So anyway, in the attitude of a sannyasi has been described by Krishna here. Just like a simple child is free from concepts of pride and insult, a sannyasi should be totally unconcerned about either glorification and worship or insult and humiliation. He should not be affected by that. And he should wander alone. He should remain alone and wander alone. But of course, in ISKCON, it is not possible because, as I mentioned, that the Yuga Dharma for this age is to spread the teachings, spiritual teachings, to the people in general. And that is the responsibility that the sannyasis take. Therefore, they travel to different places and educate people about the ultimate goal of life, how to make this human form of life successful. And although a sannyasi is situated in perfect knowledge, he is a person situated in perfect wisdom, but he remains completely humble and displaying his wisdom and ability to others. He should maintain a very humble situation. Although actually competent, he wanders about like a dull person. And although most learned, he engages himself like an incense fool in incoherent speech. Although actually fixed in the Vedas, he behaves in an unordered fashion. He tolerates the evil words of others and never shows contempt. for anyone else. He avoids acting as an enemy or vainly indulging in arguments. These are the very important instructions. So, in this way, Krishna is instructing Uddhav about the various responsibilities in the varna, respective varna and ashram situation. And then Krishna is talking about the three modes of material, nature and beyond. So we saw that varnashram system is actually based on the modes of material nature. Mode of goodness, brahmanas. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness, they are brahmanas. Those who are situated in the mode of passion, they are kshatriyas. Those who are situated in mixed mode of passion and ignorance, they are vaishyas. And those who are in the mode of ignorance, they are sudras. In this way, the society has been divided. But here is another important thing to consider, that in this structure, the tendency is not to exploit others. Generally, it is a tendency of a superior to dominate over or exploit the inferior. No. Here, the situation is more like a family where there are four brothers. In a family, does the elder brother exploit the younger brothers, or elder brothers takes care of the younger brothers? In an ideal family, what happens? They exploit your elder brothers? No, rather they take care. So the eldest brother in this situation are the brahmanas in a society. And like an elder brother is detached, he doesn't care for material possessions, but he is concerned about the welfare of others. So he guides the kshatriyas. The second brother, he wants to enjoy. He is an enjoyer. But the elder brother guides him with knowledge. And then the kshatriyas, the next brother is vaishyas. So vaishyas are trading, they are actually making money through business and others. They are providing. The vaishya's business is actually to cater to the needs of the society. Provide or supply the needs of the society. Supply and demand, or demand and supply. The vaishya or business structure is based on that principle. Whatever is needed in the society, vaishyas has the responsibility to provide. And these vaishyas are given protection by the kshatriya. So the second brother is giving protection to the third brother, who is the money earner. And the sudras are the youngest brother. He is being youngest, he is bole bhale. He doesn't really care for anything, and the three elder brothers take care of him. So see, this is how the ideal human society is established. Like a family. The Vedic culture is actually creating a family like that, or designed to create a family. Four brothers and each other are supporting each other. Each one is supporting each other. And the three modes of material nature, those who are in the mode of goodness, they worship Hari or Krishna. And those who are in the mode of passion, they tend to worship. There are actually five kinds of worship, which is known as Panchopashana. Those five deities of worships are Vishnu, Surya, Devi, Ganesh, and Shiva. Those who are in the mode of goodness, they worship Vishnu. Those who are in the mode of passion, they worship Surya and Devi. And those who are in the mode of ignorance, they worship Ganesh and in a certain way and Lord Shiva. So according to one's nature, one develops a tendency of his worship also due to his influence of the modes. There, the generally the five categories, Vishnu worshippers are Vaishnavas, then worshippers of Suryas are Saura, then worshippers of Ganesh is Ganapatya, and Shakta and Shaivites. These are the five types of worship, five classes. A person whose character is in the mode of goodness worship Lord Hari in a spirit of devotion without regards of any profit. He doesn't worship for any material benefit. Whereas other worships has certain desires. And one who hankers after the fruits of his worship, they are passionate by nature, and one who desires violence is on the mode of ignorance. These modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance are present in the infinitesimal living entity, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to all three modes. And there are different situations according to the influence of the modes. Uddhang gacchanti sattastha. Those who are situated in those who are influenced by the mode of goodness or sattva-gun, they are uddhang gacchanti. They go up. And madhye tishtati rajasa. Those who are in the mode of passion, they remain in the middle region. Middle region means this earth planet. And jaganna guna brittishya adho gacchanti tamasa. Those who are influenced by the disgusting mode of ignorance, they go downwards. So, you know, in a way you can say that the uddhang gacchanti, the situation is the upper planetary systems. Swar lokas, bhurvar loka, bhur bhuva swa, then maha jana tapa satya, then swargaloka, maharloka, janaloka, tapaloka and sattaloka. These are the destination of those who are in the mode of goodness. Those who are in the mode of passion, they remain in bhubarloka, bhurloka, this earth planet, and those who are in the mode of ignorance, they go to the lower planetary systems or lower species of life, like the animal life and subhuman species of life. And only by being engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is able to transcend the material nature and become elevated to the spiritual world. This upper planetary systems are also, all are within this material nature, within the universe. There are innumerable universes in this material nature. And each universe has 14 planetary systems. Out of them, 7 are higher planetary systems and 7 are lower planetary systems. The 7 higher planetary systems are Bhu-loka, that is this planet, then Bhubar-loka, then Swar-loka or Swarga-loka, then Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka and Sattaloka. So Sattaloka is the place where Lord Brahma is situated. And there are seven lower planetary systems. There Atal, Bital, Sutal, Mahatal, Talatal, Rasatal and Patal. These are the seven lower planetary systems. So each universe has this structure. And then there are seven coverings of the material nature. Then beyond that there is a causal ocean where all the universes are floating. And beyond that is the spiritual world. So, to get out of this material nature and go back to the spiritual world, the only process that is effective is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To enter into the world of the Lord, one has to be submissive to the Lord. One has to be engaged in serving the Lord for His pleasure. And when He is pleased in this way, then one becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual world. So, finally, he is actually pointing out Krishna to Uddhava. First, the increasing of the mode of goodness, one can defeat the passion and ignorance. We quite elaborately discussed that point. The passion and ignorance is a cycle that continues. Passion to ignorance, ignorance to passion. Like in passion, one works during the day, works very hard, then at night, in mode of ignorance, he falls asleep. Then in the morning again, he wakes up, and in the mode of passion, he starts to act, becomes active. So passion, mode of passion causes the urge to act. And mode of ignorance makes one enter into darkness of sleep. So this is how I'm seeing that some individuals are entering into the darkness of sleep already. So passion and ignorance is a cycle. It's very difficult to come out of. But the only way one can come out of the cycle of passion and ignorance is by being engaged in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness takes one out of the mode of passion. And then being engaged in the mode of goodness, then one can conquer the material goodness by evolving his consciousness to the platform of transcendence. By being situated in the transcendental or spiritual platform, at that time he becomes entirely engaged in service to the Lord. So time and time again this point is coming out. The service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for His pleasure is the ultimate goal and the means to achieve that ultimate goal. At that time he becomes entirely liberated from the material modes, gives up his subtle body comprising of mind, intelligence and false ego. The subtle body we cannot give up otherwise. At the time of death we give up the gross body. But the subtle body, the body is consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego, we cannot give up. It doesn't die at the time of death. Rather, the subtle body carries the soul to the next body. The only way that one can be freed from the bondage of the subtle body is by being engaged in devotion to the devotional service to the Lord. Just as Krishna instructed, man mana bhava, with your mind you always think of me. So when the mind is engaged in thinking of Krishna, then the mind is spiritualized. No more subtle material aspect. In this way, when one becomes constantly engaged in serving the Lord, Krishna is saying, dadami buddhi yogam tam, tesham shatata juktanan, bhajatang priti purvakam, Dadami buddhi yogam tam jena mam upajanti te. When one becomes constantly engaged, satata jukta nam, and bhajatan priti purvakam, with love he renders devotional service unto me, I give him buddhi yogam. Jena mam upajanti te. Through which he is able to come back to me. So in this way, intelligence is spiritualized, becoming buddhi yoga. So mind, intelligence, and then false ego, mistaken identity, identifying ourselves with the material body and material mind. So in this way, when you become free, when you become engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we become free from the bondage of false ego, ahamkar. Rather, ahamkar is now transformed into ihajasya harir dasye karmana manasagira. He's transformed into a service to this, a servant to the Lord. Jivir sarup hai Krishner Nitya Das. So his mind, intelligence and false ego has become spiritualized. So that stage is called the stage of Swarup Siddhi. One has achieved the perfection of his spiritual identity. And that stage is also known as Jivan Mukta stage. Although he is in this body, apparently material body, but he is a pure spiritual entity, spiritual being. So in this way, through the devotion, the involvement of the subtle body, one becomes free from So next is the chapter 26 is called Aila Gita. Aila is King Pururava. Pururava became attracted to Urvashi. Urvashi became his wife on one condition. And I don't want to go into the details of that condition. You can find it out later on. The main point is that at some point he broke that condition. And when Pururava broke that condition, Urvashi said, okay, now I'm going to go. So when Urvashi left, Pururava was extremely heartbroken. Extremely heartbroken. He was like a mad man. He was searching for his wife. But then eventually he came to his knowledge. He realized that these material attachments are simply a cause of distress. Material bondage is a cause of distress. All material attachments eventually result into inflicting pain. We love somebody and we lose that somebody. How does one feel? He feels as if his whole life has been ruined. There is no need for staying living anymore. That's how one feels when he loses the object of his attachment. But in the reality is that in this material nature, no one is going to stay forever. Nothing is going to last forever. No matter how attached we become, someday either we go or those individuals go. When the objects of our attachment, the objects of our love leave, then it causes great pain. So Pururava became situated in knowledge in this way. And so, and he is actually expressing his realization. Like the saintly devotee of the Lord can break the false attachment of one's mind. It is only by getting higher taste that we can give up the lower taste. We are able to give up attachment to material objects or material individuals by getting the higher taste. And how does the higher taste come? The higher taste comes by developing our attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There we get the higher taste. An inconceivable joy is experienced. And as a result of that, there is no more any inclination for deriving joy or trying to enjoy through gratifying our senses. So, only when one becomes engaged in when service to the Lord and loving develops his loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by getting the higher taste only, he can give up the lower taste. A saintly devotee of the Lord can break the false attachments of one's mind. Real saints are always liberated and devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that association, there are constant discussions about the Supreme Lord. Satang prasangan mamo birja sambido. When the satam, the saintly personalities, get together, what happens? They simply discuss about the wonderful qualities and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of that, bhavanti ritkarna rashayana katha. As a result of that discussion, the heart becomes completely satisfied. Ritkarna rashayana katha. And tadjosho nadashu apavarga bartmani. And as a result of that taste, one very easily gives up the attachment to the material nature, which is known as apavarga. And he becomes situated transcending these pavargas. Pavargas means beginning with parishram. In the material nature, there are five activities, five consequences, dependent upon five pas, five p's. First one is parishram. And as a result of that, one starts to foam in the mouth. Fena. Oh, no, five p's, but pa barga is pa, fa, ba, bha, and ma. Pa, parishram, fa, as a result of that fena, he starts to foam in the mouth due to his hard labor. Then ba, bartha, all that he has done is completely becomes futile, bartha. All the activities, all the collections, total futility, bartha. And that causes bhaya, fear. One becomes afraid. And then ma, mrittu. So these are the five natural consequences of materialistic involvement, which is called pavarga. But when one becomes engaged in serving the supreme personality of Godhead, he actually becomes free from this pavarga, meaning becomes free from material entanglement, or in ultimately we can see he can become free even from death. For him there is no death. He achieves a life of immortality. Amrita. Mrittu, no more mrittu. Amrita. An eternal life. Okay, then let me see. Okay. The next one. I think will be interesting to many of you. Deity worship. So, now here you have to see how to do the deity worship properly. The first consideration of deity worship is to understand that the deity of the Lord is not just a statue or a murti. It is a vigraha. It's non-different from the Lord Himself. The deity that we attempt seeing in the altar, is it just a stone statue? Or is it Krishna Himself? Mother Radha, Madan Mohan. Yes. He is there. So that is the first thing that one has to understand when one is involved in worshipping the Lord in the temple. He is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And and he should not worship the deity with any material benefit, for any material benefit. Then what should be the purpose of worshipping the Lord in the temple? Just to please Him. He is our Lord and Master. And as a Lord and Master, He is already taking care of us in all respects. So why should we ask anything from Him? Rather, I should serve Him. Because He is the Lord and Master and I am His servant. So with that attitude, one should render service to the Lord. The devotee should, and how should how should one worship the deity? A devotee should bathe both physically and by chanting mantra. Shnan is the two kinds. Shnan or bathing is with the water and also with the mantra. So one should perform both this kind of bathing. One should bathe himself first thing for deity worship. And then he should perform the utterance of Gayatri. In order to do the deity worship, one has to be able to chant Gayatri mantra. One has to be a brahmana. Chant the Gayatri three times a day. What are those three times? Sunrise, time of sunrise, midday, and at the time of sunset. And then he should face the deity, either facing north or east. Or he can face just the way the deity is. And he should bathe the deity and clean the deity. Then he should dress the deity with beautiful clothes and ornaments. He should offer argha. After bathing and dressing the Lord, one should offer argha for washing his mouth and fragrant oil, incense, lamp, flowers, and food preparations. Offer bhoga. After offering incense and others, and he should worship the Lord. Not only the Lord, should also worship the Lord's associates. Like for example, in the temple we have Radha Madan Mohan, and along with Radha Madan Mohan we also have Lalita and Vishakha. In this way the deity should be worshipped with all the love of one's heart. That's the most important thing. The ultimate consideration for worship is the love of the heart. to the Lord. So, okay, I'm coming to the conclusion. So, the ultimate knowledge that one receives through knowledge or jnana is that this material existence is unreal. Maybe you can briefly consider that. There are six branches of philosophy considered as Sat Darshan. Six branches of philosophy. Those six branches of philosophy are Karma Mimamsa or Purva Mimamsa. Then Naya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, and then Uttar Mimamsa or final conclusion. The first one is Karma Mimamsa. Karma Mimamsa, the conclusion is that as you act accordingly, you'll get the result. As you sow, so shall you reap. As you act accordingly, you'll get the result. The right action will lead to enjoyment, wrong action will lead to suffering. So if you don't want to suffer, then don't indulge in wrong action. And the right actions, the prescriptions are given. The right actions are called punya. As a result of punya, one enjoys. And as a result of wrong action or pap, one suffers. So, don't indulge in sinful activities, but always try to act in a pious way. So, and as a result of that, you will enjoy, you'll be able to fulfill your desires. And in this Karmakanda section of the Vedas, Vedas are giving different prescriptions how to fulfill various desires. You have desire to become very rich, Vedas are giving the instructions. You act in this way, do this, you'll become rich. You want to become a king, do this, you'll become a king. You want to become the king of the entire earth planet, perform this yajna, or act this way, you will be able to become the ruler of the entire earth planet. Still you are not satisfied, you want to become the ruler of the heavenly planet, you want to become Indra, the king of Sargaloka. Fine, no problem. Perform 100 horse sacrifices, Ashwamedh Yajna, and you will get the position of Indra. So this is how different prescriptions are given, how one can fulfill his desires. But eventually one gets to know that this material, that he is suffering. In spite of all fulfilling all his desires, he is still suffering. Because one cannot avoid the threefold miseries of this material nature. Miseries caused by this body and mind, miseries inflicted upon us by other living entities, and miseries caused by natural calamities. No one can avoid these threefold miseries. So then one considers, then why am I suffering? Why am I suffering? So that actually takes him from the Karmakanda section to the Jnanakanda section. And through Naya, or logic, he understands that this material nature is a place of suffering. And this body is an instrument to receive pain. Example, take any part of the body and see in how many ways you can inflict pain to that part of the body. Just consider your little finger. Think in how many ways you can inflict pain to this little finger. I'm sure you can think of millions of ways to do that. Take a knife and cut it. What I'll get? I'll get a lot of pain. Take a stone and smash it. Take some fire and burn it. So many ways I can inflict pain to this insignificant little finger. Now you consider that applies to any part of your body. Take any part of your body, you can think of millions of ways to inflict pain Now you consider how many ways you can give pleasure. Practically non-existent. We are in a place which is meant for suffering and in a body which is meant for receiving pain. Fortunately, we have got a faculty called intelligence. And with intelligence, we avoid these painful situations. If I put my hand in fire, it'll burn. Don't touch fire. If I cross the road when the car is coming, don't cross the road. So this is how intelligence is actually directing us to avoid the painful situation. Otherwise, this is a place of suffering. And this body is an instrument for receiving pain. So then the consideration is then, what is this world? Going to the next branch of philosophy called Vaisheshika. And Vaisheshika is ultimately coming to the atomic theory. Whatever you are perceiving, actually it is a combination of paramanus or atoms. Is giving rise to the shape, but actually it's only a combination of innumerable minute particles which in different velocity and pressure and temperature giving different shapes. Vaisheshika. Then Sankhya, analyzing this material nature. What is this material nature then? Analyze. So the analyzer is leading, analyzing. This material nature is composed of five elements. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. Solid, liquid, fire, air and ether. And we have five senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue and touch. And the interaction between the senses and these elements give rise to the objects of the senses. Ether interacts with ears. Sound is produced. Skin interacts with air. Touch is produced. Eyes interact with fire. Form is produced. Tongue interacts with water. Taste is produced. Nose interacts with earth and smell is produced. So this is how the interaction between the five senses and the five elements give rise to five objects of the senses. Then there are five working senses. Hands, speech, first is speech, bark, pani, hands, anus, belly and genitals. These are the five working senses. So five fours are 20. Then there are three subtle elements. Mind, intelligence and false ego. 23. Then the sum total of the ingredients with which the material nature is composed called Mahat Tattva. 24. So in this way, through this 24 consideration, the entire material nature has been analyzed. But still then, one considers that all these 24 are objective in nature. They are objects. Objective. But the object cannot exist without the subject. So who is the subject? I am the subject. I am, therefore this is. Now the entire material nature has been analyzed with 24 consideration, but I couldn't be found. Therefore I is beyond material nature. Therefore I is non-material or spiritual. They didn't stop at that. 25th consideration is I or the Atma. Atma is not a product of this world, but Atma is coming from another reality, the spiritual reality. Now, Atma are minute and many. All of us have our Atmas. minute spiritual entity. So anything that is minute and many must have a source. And the source of all atmas is Param Atma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Now how this Atma can establish his relationship with Paramatma, that is taking to the next branch of philosophy called Yoga. And Yoga has 8 different stages or limbs called Ashtanga Yoga. Yam, Niyam, Asan. Yam, external purification. Niyam, internal purification. Asan, to become situated in the body in a way that we can utilize the body in a proper way to reach our destination. Pranayam, controlling of the breathing. Our breathing and our activities of the mind are very closely connected. So in order to stop the activities of the mind, one has to stop breathing. And then only he is able or eligible to withdraw his senses being projected externally. That is called pratyahara, 5th stage, pratyahara. Then comes dhyana or meditation. When we have withdrawn our senses from the objects of the senses, then only we are able to project our consciousness internally. Dhyana. When the dhyana becomes fixed, that is dharan. And then finally the perception of the Lord in the heart, which is samadhi. So when in samadhi one sees the Lord in the heart, in the light of the Lord he sees himself as a minute, insignificant living entity. Therefore, seeing his minuteness and the greatness of the Lord, he surrenders himself. That surrender takes him to the next platform called Uttar Mimamsa, or final conclusion. When one surrenders to the Lord, then the Lord picks him up in his loving embrace. And then a loving exchange begins between the Lord and the individual soul. So in this way, through these 6 branches of philosophy, it's ultimately bringing to the point of Uttar Mimamsa, or final conclusion. And this Uttar Mimamsa is actually Vedanta. So 6 branches of philosophy are Purva Mimamsa, Naya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, and Uttar Mimamsa or Vedanta Sutra. And the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is establishing the supremacy of loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how one reaches the ultimate destination of his life by being engaged in loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we are coming to the final chapter of this Uddhav Gita. I feel happy that somehow I have been able to cover all the 23 chapters. So the Uddhav then asked Krishna to give this knowledge, whatever he said, in a concise form. What is the ultimate conclusion? Krishna is starting with, the fruitive workers and mystic yogis who are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are puffed up by their false identification, and they refuse to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So as long as we remain proud of our situation, our possessions, our knowledge, our accumulation of wealth, we won't be able to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. So the consideration of surrendering to the Supreme Lord is to become humble and non-envious. But the swan-like personalities, those who know how to discriminate between the essential and non-essential. Swan has a very wonderful ability. A swan, you give swan a mixture of milk and water, the swan will take the milk and discard the water. Similarly, therefore, the saintly personalities are compared to a swan or a paramahamsa. He knows to discriminate between what is illusory and what is real. What is non-essential and what is essential. What is material and what is spiritual. And then he surrenders, then only he takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, within the living entity, as the Chaitya Guru, ultimately the Lord is the Guru. He is the ultimate Guru. Sitting in everyone's heart, when one becomes interested in making spiritual progress, he inspires him. First, he manifests himself in the form of the bona fide spiritual master who externally guides, and then he internally guides as the super soul. So the Supreme Lord himself within the living entity as the Chaitya Guru eradicates all the misfortune of the spirit soul and reveals his own personal form. Therefore, one should always act for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should try to reside close to the Lord or in a place where the Lord is being worshipped, in a place where the Lord resides, called Dham. So Dham is, there are important Dhams are Vrindavan, Dwarka, Mathura, Ajodhya, etc., Mayapur. But the temples are also the Dham because the Lord is residing there. So those who want to make spiritual advancement, they should try to reside in such a situation where the Lord is present. It's a kind of a heavy statement from Krishna. Mind you, this is Krishna speaking, so it naturally makes sense. Bearing in mind, the devotee should give up his proud relatives, his separatist onlook, a separatist outlook, and the mundane embarrassment, and should offer obeisances flat on the ground to all, even the dogs and outcasts. So one should actually give up the proud situation and accept a humble position in such a way that he can offer obeisances to even a dog or even an outcast, a chandal. So we can, in that respect, we can consider the beginning of the Uddhava Gita is starting with Avadhuta, 24 gurus. Who are those? Some of the gurus are animals. He learned some lessons from elephant. He learned some lesson from a pigeon. And he's accepting a pigeon as his guru, elephant as his guru, a python as his guru, a snake as his guru, a spider as his guru. Because there is something to learn from them. And obviously he is offering obeisances to them. And therefore one should always try to perceive the presence of the Lord in everyone's heart. And that is how he will develop natural respect for everyone. The Lord is present in everyone's heart. Therefore, one should recognize the Lord in his heart and develop a respectful attitude towards him. Because this eternal process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord is transcendental and has been established by the Lord himself. This process of devotional service has been established by Lord himself. Therefore, it can never, to a slightest extent, be defeated or prove fruitless. When one offers himself completely to the Supreme Lord with exclusive devotion, the Lord becomes particularly pleased, and thus the devotee achieves immortality, becoming qualified to obtain opulence equal to that of the Lord himself. So after receiving all these instructions, Uddhav went to Badrika Ashram in pursuance to the Lord's instructions, and by perfectly carrying out the instructions of the Supreme Lord, he attained the Lord's transcendental abode. And by faithfully serving these instructions spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Uddhava, the greatest of devotees, the entire world can become liberated. So that means these instructions that Krishna gave to Uddhava, if we follow these instructions ourselves, then we can achieve the ultimate perfection. Thank you all very much. All glories to Uddhav Gita. So today, Hare Krishna. Today, I won't invite any questions. Now we don't really have much time, but I want to lead you into something very interesting. Today when I was leaving, two girls, little girls, showed me the points that they have taken notes of. So, are they here or? Huh? Oh, they left. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I'll bring them onto the stage and ask them to read out those points. I was really amazed to see. One was in class 2, standard 2. That means she is only 7 years old. The other one is in standard 9. I'm sorry, standard 4. So she is 9 years old. But I was thinking that I was not that smart when I was in class 2. I mean, I couldn't imagine writing notes like that at that age. So today's children are so smart, so intelligent. And especially being guided by their devotee parents, they're actually advancing very nicely. So thank you very much. I saw that somebody was escorted into the into our midst. So they must be some very important guest of ours.
She's Bidisha Mukherjee, Upper Collector of Ujjain.
Oh, okay. So so thank you very much for coming. So Bidisha Mukherjee, so you're from Bengal. Okay, give her the mic.
So my parents, they are in Bengal. I am serving here in Madhya Pradesh.
Oh, you are born in Madhya Pradesh?
Yeah.
Okay, so you are an IAS cadre.
I am from the State Administrative Service.
Okay, cadre. Very nice. Welcome to our program here. So please keep coming.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you
and
so much.
And I presume he is your husband?
Yeah.
What's your name?
I'm Sujoy Mukherjee.
Sujoy Mukherjee. Okay, wonderful. So maybe bring some chairs for them and please come and say something. Vidisha and Sujoy. You see, the word Vidisha has a close connection to Ujjain. Do you know that? So, anyway, I was thinking of one poetry. Chuletar kabekar andhokar bidishar nisha. Did you read that? Yeah. Derived from that poetry only, okay. Mukhetar on shabastir karukarjo. Thank you, Vidisha. And Sujoy, please say something about your experience and if you want us to do something, please let us know. We'd like to do something for the city here.
Okay, I just introduce myself. I am Sujoy Mukherjee. Actually, I am an engineer. I was working with Steel Authority of India Limited, SAIL, and I worked in Durgapur, Bhilai. Then I was in marketing in Jabalpur, Gwalior. About a couple of years back, I have taken VR from MIT, and now I'm just sort of, you can say, enjoying my life along with Vidisha. And she is the additional collector here. So wherever she is moving in Madhya Pradesh, I am just following her. So she would be able to, better she will be able to explain her.
One of the girls come and give the garland to her. Please.
So Vidisha, she will say something, please.
Good evening, everybody.
You give it to him and she'll give it to her.
As you all know that I have just joined here a month back. Ujjain, as you know, it has lot of spirituality everywhere. When we came to ISKCON or even when we visited Mahakal Temple, Sandipani Ashram, maybe Lord has something in His mind to get me posted here. Speaking before the very knowledgeable guru, I just remember four lines, that is in Bengali. Rikto ami shunno ami. I am zero. I know nothing about spirituality. In Janmashtami, I visited here for the first time. Rikto ami shunno ami. I am empty. I am almost zero. I have even a small spiritual enlightenment. I don't know whether I have gained it till date. Rikto ami shunno ami tawar kichu nai. I have nothing to give you. Ache shudhu bhalobasha. I have only love, dedication and devotion, which I will definitely give to the city in the times to come. Rikto ami shunno ami dawar kichu nai. Ache shudhu bhalobasha diye gelam tai. Maybe in my journey with ISKCON, maybe I will learn a little bit, I will grow a little bit. And thank you, Gurudev, for such a lovely discourse, such a lovely enlightenment. Thank you so much.
Sujoy, will you say something? Thank you, Vidisha. It was a very wonderful presentation. Thank you so much. And I'll also say, like, if there is anything we can do for the city, please let us know. Ah, okay.